Good evening. This is Cameron Afshar with Economic Pulse from WDIY. We are releasing the results of our quarterly survey of Lehigh Valley businesses. With me tonight are Jack Fonder from Manufacturing Resource Center and Tom Demshock from Fishburne Realty. Gentlemen, welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
As we have been talking about this, the survey showed that businesses are more positive about the future than they were before, and the index is slowly getting to the point that it was before the recession started, or at least it's approaching that very, very closely. But we observed a couple of interesting indicators this time. One is that although businesses indicated that they have hired a lot more people over the last 6 months than they did before, all of a sudden, and for the first time, at least in the last 2 years, when we look at the numbers, their planned hirings is slightly less than their actual hiring last 6 months. Jack, what have you seen in your...
Well, it's funny. We've had a really good run in manufacturing for a long time. I think manufacturing has kind of pulled the economy a little bit out of the recession over the last three mm-hmm. years, 4 years. And so with that, I think, companies were, kind of resisting hiring people initially, just waiting to see where it was going. And I think there was been some confidence levels over the last couple years, some expansions, people finding new products and things like that. Nowadays, though, there's a little concern out there because I think people are finding that the value of the dollar being so high right now, the economies across the world, China and Europe and some of those areas are not as strong as they were before. There's some concern there about the buying of American products over there with a high dollar rate and so forth. Obviously, the low cost of fuel, you would think that would be great, but a lot of manufacturers are involved in that industry in terms of making equipments and things like this. So there's a little hesitant right now, I think, plus the stagnation in Washington on so many things.
Nothing new about that.
You would hope that they would have gotten better, but they haven't. And so I think there's just caution myself. And to say it's something to really worry about, I personally don't. I see hiccups every now and then. I think this is, if we have it for another couple, two, three more quarters, then we better really look at it. But right now, I think, with the exporting and so forth, a lot of companies are doing more internally. So I'm not surprised about it myself.
What about you, Tom? What have you seen in your environment?
The real estate market's gotten stronger. We're still climbing slowly, but we're climbing as far as sales. Prices are faltering. I think prices are almost going down a little bit as the activity's increased. But we're just about in the seller's market. So I think if that happens, we're going to see the push for the price movement to go up. And maybe that'll get more inventory in the market, which will level the price out again.
What about the type of people who buy? Do you see them from people who are moving into our area, or are they still mostly people who are in the valley just moving from one area to from?
Mostly what we're still seeing is first-time home buyers.
Oh, okay.
Although they are getting more expensive houses, but we're still really mostly active under 300. The 150 to 250 is still the hottest price range out there. We're not seeing that many big tickets. Although this summer I did a report for Channel 69 on million-dollar sales. And the past year, the Lehigh Valley had something like 18 sales in excess of a million. And I think half of those were over two.
Wow. Okay.
So that market kind of took a little blip that it hasn't seen in years.
Wow. So real estate market is really out of what it was during the recession?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it's much healthier.
Yeah, and real estate market didn't go into the depths of where it was during the early part of recession. It actually went through the worst part a year or so into the recession. Initially, it held for a while.
2008, 2009, 2010 were really tough years.
Mm-hmm. And then it started to come back.
Yeah, thank God.
Yes, of course.
Now, if Harrisburg get their act together, it might help too.
Well, don't hope for miracles. One of the interesting things also we have seen is that a good percent of businesses, even as the market goes ahead, are planning to hire more people compared to those who are laying off. And there's always people who lay off and also hire. But the numbers of the company, the percent of companies that are planning to hire next 6 months have also shown an EDBD dip. The amount of it is very, very small. It's barely statistically significant. But the fact that it is breaking with the trend is something that is surprising to me. And Jack, your view about the currency value and such, do you think that is the biggest reason for all of this?
It could be. You know, I think manufacturing is I think, a little different than a lot of industries in that the average worker is probably older than people in other industries, especially in the skill set people within companies. So I think companies are now seeing their retirements starting to pick up more than they did before. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing a lot of new people being added to just replace the old people. But in terms of growth, we're getting a lot more automation in plants right now, which will move the employees from one area to another area because, let's say it's a packaging line or something instead of people doing it by hand. Now those people might be moved somewhere else. So I don't see companies laying people off because of automation, but I think they're being retrained, and we're seeing a lot of retraining going on right now in the Valley. In terms of getting them up to different skills and so forth so they can stay in, which is all kind of taking care of the existing workforce as opposed to adding to it. So I don't know if that's good or bad, but I think right now efficiencies has always been good. And it as I said to a couple of people later, companies want to kind of try to keep it here in the United States as opposed to keeping it in Mexico or the manufacturing in China and so mm-hmm. forth. So the more efficient we can get within the United States, that differential on payroll decreases to a point where a lot more of the products are being built here in the United States mm-hmm. as opposed to over there. So it's kind of a give and take a little mm-hmm. bit. So I kind of think it's efficiencies myself. Mm-hmm.
Actually, in our categories, the only category that showed a reduction in plans for hiring next 6 months, in other words, the plans are to lay off more than hiring, was in the manufacturing. Okay. Very small, but it was. Yeah. On the other hand, realtors were planning to hire a number of people. Actually, one of the larger percentage-wise of hiring came into the realtors group.
That's because they're commission only and they don't cost anything. However, one segment of the real estate market that has not come back since the recession was corporate relocation.
Oh.
So when you talk about corporations and executives, we are not seeing, if they're hiring, they must be doing it from within because they're not bringing them in with the perks and the benefits that, you know, we saw very nicely in the early part of this century.
What about the, there was a Chinese company that moved into Western Lehigh County. You have not seen any?
I didn't see anything of that one. I mean, it was all in Western Lehigh County. And
yeah, I know them.
Okay.
I know they came in, I think, with kind of the concept of doing it the way they've done it in China mm-hmm. and have realized that it's probably not the right way of doing it. So they're now in a retooling mode over there to make it more in terms of the manufacturing as the U.S. is familiar with. And they will be hiring people, but I think they're gonna instead of pulling people from China into the company, I think what they're going to do now is hire from around here and with American workers that have, you know, gone through American plants and that kind of thing. So I don't see them bringing a lot of people in. I think they're going to grow with
not even their top management.
Even the top management's changed. I'm not saying that, you know, China, obviously, but there's a general manager there now from the United States that has experience in the United States. So I think when you start putting in a new plant and OSHA requirements and all these other kind of restrictions and so forth that most manufacturers here in the United States have had to live with, where you might not have had that in China, I think having that experience is very important.
Well, I'm sure it's significantly different in China compared to having rules, for example. Mm-hmm. But many of the companies owned by even European companies that are based in Europe and have operations in the United States, we see that top management is often from there, be it German, French, or Italian. We have seen that happen. But with the Chinese company, you see from even general manager, it's coming to become American.
Yeah, I think in this case it makes sense. Yeah. I do know the foreign, the German and so forth. I know that those cultures and so forth. But in terms of China, I think it's quite a bit different manufacturing something here than it would be in China. I haven't been to China 6-7 times myself. I can understand that. So.
Yeah. So that's why, Tom, you haven't got the top management people wanting to buy houses that are not being moved here.
No, but you mentioned the foreign companies. We do a lot of that, or we have done a lot of that. Esrock Cement has been amazing in that respect. I mean, they have Romanians, they have Germans, they have English, they have French, Italians that they bring in and out of here, or they had. Mm-hmm. They've been very quiet. Of course, now they're being sold to Heidelberg, so that might change things too.
Yeah, Heidelberg obviously is one of the largest cement manufacturers. Yes, the other part of the process, as we or surprises of the October survey, is the expectation of lower future income than past. And as I said, that's very unusual. We always see people saying, or at least expecting, More income in the next 6 months than they had in the past 6 months. So what are your observations?
I don't know myself. Mm. I think as the I'm seeing now as the baby boomers are starting to retire and so forth, and we keep talking about the skill shortage, and there is a skill shortage in manufacturing, especially in terms of the electrical mechanical maintenance, in terms of some of the machining, some of those kind of areas, that people are starting to find that competition or even other industries are taking people. Mm-hmm. Which would assume then that somebody's going to get a $2 an hour raise by moving from company A to company B. We're starting to see that a little bit over in 33 corridor over in that neck of the woods with some of the logistics companies coming in that can retrain people. That some of my small manufacturers are starting to worry about some of their trained people about moving over. So I think supply and demand is definitely going to take its situation with the experienced people. I don't think you're going to have the initial, when you first hire somebody, that their wages are in manufacturing is usually low because they need to understand what talents these people have when they come to work. But once you find somebody with those talents, the history has been that the manufacturing will increase them very quickly to get them into the range where they need to be. Mm-hmm. So,
what about you, Tom? You have seen.
I think employment's getting better. As an example, 4 years ago, I went on Craigslist and put an ad, very simple, for an administrative person. I had over 100 resumes. I had PhDs, people with masters, applying for basically an entry-level position. Mm-hmm. 6 months ago, I did the same thing to replace that person. I only had about 40 resumes, and they were all appropriate. No masters, hardly anyone with a college degree, and definitely no PhDs. So it shows you how desperate they were 4 years ago.
Yeah. Well, PhDs are not good for any realistic work. We just sit down and think.
Careful, my daughter's working on one.
Okay. Yes, and Tom, what have you seen of the? We are looking at all these restaurant rows that are expanding in the Tri-City area. We have a huge one in Bethlehem, and Easton has its, and Allentown is starting in its new downtown renovation zone, and all of them are coming up. What have you seen in your experience?
Well, they're all entrepreneurial, if you remember. They're not franchises.
Right.
You know, basically going into these places, except for Allentown has some franchises. Mm-hmm. So I think, again, as the economy, when it goes down, you get that entrepreneurial spirit coming out, and now the banks are starting to go in to fund the restaurants. I have a client I put into one of the restaurants downtown Bethlehem 3 years ago now, and banks now willing to loan them money to think about a second one.
Mm-hmm. So the banks have started to loan them money.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very good.
That's one of the tougher loans to get, especially if you have a liquor license.
Yeah.
The banks are very, very reluctant.
Well, historically, restaurants are pretty risky. I remember this when I used to be a college professor 100 years ago. The expectations was that 90-some percent of them don't last beyond a couple of years from start to that. But I'm sure now things numbers have changed. But still, the risk factor is higher for them than for others. But we see right now that the expansion is there, and most of the ones we have seen are sustaining and doing very, very well in all the Tri-City area. So it could be that also the economy has a lot to do with it.
I was going to say that reflects disposable income.
Yeah.
If you're feeling tight, you're not going out to nice restaurants.
That's true. That is true. That's true. We're going to pick up on this one on the second segment. But obviously, we have seen these expansions coming, and it's quite welcome, and it is indication of economy doing better. But some of these restaurants, in particular, were around before the Great Recession hit, and they are still around. So it's a good indication of sustainability. And
you're right. I don't remember seeing too many go down.
That's right.
During the recession.
So this is this may be a new era that they last. They're very efficient and they can last through the process, even through going through a major recession that we went through. We picked that up on our second segment. This is Cameron Afshar with Economic Pulse.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
This is Cameron Afshar with Economic Pulse from WDIY, and we are starting our second segment of releasing the results of October survey of Lehigh Valley businesses. And we were talking about the successful restaurants in the valley, which is a sign of the economy. And also, we of course observed that during the Great Recession, most of them survived it, and they are around. So it's a sign of sustainability, and the fact that this is not just a seasonal or cyclical industry, and they could last through the process in the valley. But one of the important parts is that Lehigh Valley is not an island; it's part of the United States, and we are all. Part of the global village that we live in. And as Jack, you mentioned early on, the Chinese economy making all these noises is a major issue to look at, because now it is the second largest economy in the globe. And if they are not doing well, how would that affect us as we are going forward?
Well, I think in manufacturing, a lot of companies are looking at China as a customer. Everybody used to think, well, just make it over there, bring it back here, and sell it over here. But obviously, that being one of the largest, if not the largest market in the world, I know there's a lot of expansion concepts of companies to build where it's sold.
Right.
We're finding the same thing in the United States. You look in the automotive industry. European companies are moving their plants here to the United States because of the United States market. That's a trend that we're seeing in the supply chains of trying to keep the supply chains agile be able to be responsive to whatever the customers are needing. Therefore, you need to have it close by. And the old concept of shipping it by boat from China and waiting 2 months before it got here and so forth just isn't quite hacking it in terms of when you're dealing with a global economy and trying to keep everybody happy, which is where it really is getting right now. So I'm kind of you know, worried a little bit about you know, what's happening in overseas, and we're in Europe and we're in China, because the United States, you know, are we? I don't think we can say we're resistant from those problems, and I think that's part of the issue. You know, right now in the Lehigh Valley, the manufacturing base, as in most cases, are doing very, very well. They get great backlogs. They're working overtime. I know they've had a lot of some of the four or five of the bigger companies I work with have had bleeps where in the spring they had a little lull and they couldn't figure out why, and then they got buried in the summer. So I think all in all, that's just manufacturing. But it's not like what it was 6, 7 years ago when the recession hit, or, well, you know, 5 years ago. It seems like it's sustaining very well, and most are on a good path right now. So.
Well, the Great Recession was the worst thing that happened to U.S. economy since the Great Depression. And it really changed a lot of factors, including mode of production in many entities, because if you have to lay off 30% of your employees, then you get used to working with fewer people and new machinery and stuff. And all of that has changed. One thing that hasn't changed, despite of all of this, is shelter. We all still need homes and need somewhere to live. And have you, Tom, seen any structural change in that fashion, from home ownership to renters or living in condos or apartments and stuff?
Well, my product's always been manufactured right here in the Lehigh Valley. But there's been a dramatic shift,
yes,
with the during and from the recession, in that we are still doing more rentals per month than we are purchases. I mean, it's starting to balance out a little bit, but it had been strictly rentals for probably 5 years following the recession, and just now it's starting to even out a little more.
So this is the result of the recession. This happened
Very much so.
Because of that.
I mean, no different than the kids having to move back with their parents because they couldn't pay the rent in an apartment. Right. So they're starting to come out of their parents' basements and now take apartments, and a lot of people that had homes or lost them are renting, and people that are worried about losing their homes are selling and renting and treading water.
Yeah. Are you seeing more building in condos and apartments than homes compared to before the recession?
Oh, yes. Not in condos, but the rentals. Apartment, I didn't come prepared, but apartment construction, new apartment construction is huge, probably five times what we've had in the last decade.
Wow.
They're out in Bethel Township, Palmer Township, out in the western Lehigh County. They're trying to put themselves, which was like 1,200 different units being proposed in different parts of Nazareth, lower and upper Nazareth, along the 33 corridor. They're being fought by zoning, but I mean, the proposals are just heavy.
So this is a structural change.
I'd say so. Yeah, we really didn't see much new construction of apartments for probably 20 years.
Well, one of the things that we had was, of late in particular, that it's astonishing to me, is the significant drop in the number of new single home starts in Lehigh Valley, which has now dropped well below the worst of the recession. I mean, the number of new starts, single family homes, is now lower, significantly lower than it was during the worst of the recession. And that is has been going on for the first half of this year. And I saw even during the summer months, which always you see some improvement, the improvement is very slight. And you adjust it for seasonality, that goes away. And we are in a totally different environment. Have you seen that, Tom?
Well, it probably ties with our tight supply. Most builders are not building specs, they're building custom. Custom as you'd used to think of it, but they want a contract before they put the hole in the ground. We have a few builders doing spec. Kay's been doing quite a bit out there, not right off Route 100. Tusk is off 33, has been doing quite a few. But in general, most builders are not putting up product without having a contract in hand.
What this phenomenon is about a year and a half old, that the drop from what it used to be like, about 100 or 90 new starts a month to something like 20 new starts a month. That is significant.
That's very dramatic.
Yeah. And you think that's due to contractors not building on specs?
Well, they're probably not doing the specs because they're not seeing demand in the showroom. Mm. I'm sure if they had people walking through their models on a regular basis with money in hand, they'd be putting up the specs to meet that demand.
That's true. That's true. But you see the apartment buildings going on.
Apartment buildings and the over 55s. Mm-hmm. Traditions of America, the one they did on Bridle Path Road, mm-hmm. That's been, none of that was speculative. That was all on contract, and they probably are 300 up already. Uh-huh. And they're opened up another one. They're just breaking ground in Upper Saucon, and there are many people lining up and putting orders on that.
So it is a shift. And as, I guess, population is getting older, baby boomers getting, yes, I see a hand going up here. We don't say who, but baby boomers getting to that point that they want to live in a condo or in a community 55 plus. And that way, it is interesting to see where that rolls. And as a result, our local businesses and the way they will prepare their products for the new market, because if you have fewer new single homes being built, you would have fewer entities that are needed for that, like all these washing machines and stuff like that. Although condos have it, but particular apartments share
Well, a lot
those.
Of the apartments now, mm-hmm. the ones they're building are not low-end. They're $1,400 for a two-bedroom, and they come mm-hmm. with their own appliances right in them.
Okay.
And then the traditions units are not downsizing.
Yeah.
We're talking 3,000 square feet, and they're paying $400,000 to $700,000 for those units on Bridle Path Road.
You know, I think it's being in that baby boomer generation, and during the recession, most decided not to retire at 63 to 65, and now that they're getting in their late 60s and so forth, the downsizing concept is starting to happen, and I think that's part of what you're seeing here is that you know, there's not the people buying the larger homes, and as the baby boomers get older, they don't want the yard. I have 7 acres where I am, and I'm getting tired. So I'm just saying, is I think people might still want to have the luxuries of what they had with their big homes, but shrink it down so there's no pool and you don't have to worry about, you know, the grass and the trees and all this other aspect. So I think that's just the change of it is. Mm-hmm. And you look at the younger generation and, you know, I put a side house on my property with the concept the kids would take over the big house and I would retire on the side house. Well, none of the kids have enough money to buy the big house. And I think that's all part of the equation. It's definitely a big demographics difference now than what it was 30 years ago.
Jack, maybe they don't want to be that close to you.
That could be. That could be. Don't blame them.
Well, did you see the story in the paper about the Allentown apartments downtown that J.B. Riley's building? He put up that building with 140 apartments, majority one bedrooms, expecting it to be under 30-year-olds, you know, 20, 30-year-olds. And instead, what he sold fastest was, or rented fastest, were his two bedrooms. And the average age of his people is over 50 years old.
Yep.
So he started a whole second building across street, Strata Flats, which is going to be mostly two bedrooms. So again, the boomers are not only looking to cut back, but a lot of them are looking to be walkable, coming to a downtown where they can walk to those new restaurants and events.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's some advantages to those kind of places because you can take an elevator to get up to your place and you don't have to go up steps. And obviously, as you get older, steps are not real exciting. So it's just things are going to change. Obviously, we have two big generations going here at the same time, the baby boomers getting older and the younger getting into 20 to 30-year-olds. And there's a void in here, and it's going to be interesting for the next few years.
Well, the other statistic I saw recently is that the younger people are starting to stay. You know, they talked about the brain drain, people leaving. But with all the new venues we have here now for entertainment and the concerts that are happening almost every night, some type of concerts happening at the Steel Stacks or at the Sands or at the Allentown Symphony in the state, the younger people are starting to stay here now wanting to enjoy the towns.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the whole notion changing in the, if you live in very much like large cities like New York, that you just come down from your apartment and there are all restaurants and anywhere you want to go, so you technically don't even need a car to get anywhere. And that's what is this Allentown and with the downtown with the apartments is in the, is looking for, I guess, because that's the type of environment that will become then very safe if you have a lot of people who are there after 6 o'clock when the offices close, and then you have everybody else going there and making, creating a lot of demand for businesses. And this is a circle that feeds itself. The more people are there, more businesses will be open to serve them. The more businesses serve them, there will be more people going to use the services and such. This is a very positive factor. And I hope that it will continue at a high pace to get there, because it can't slow down. This is something that needs to go at a high speed. It's not something that, okay, in 5 years going to happen. It has to really happen in a fast pace or it loses a purchase. Yep. Yes.
One other point. I used to live in San Diego back in the 80s, and I was involved in the equity situations with houses, and you could trade up, and you know, people, you know, over the years could, that's the only way you could afford it. Well, with this recession and the loss of value of your houses and so forth, it's harder to do that now because you don't build the equity in the house as fast as you used to be able to.
Well, we know the inflation.
Inflation. So I'm just saying is that the things have changed, and yes. I think that's part of what this is also.
Yeah, I mean, one of the other things we are observing is for the first time, we are observing the price of oil going down for such a long period of time. I shouldn't say the first time. Last time it was 1997 that we saw 100 weeks of drop in price of oil. And right now we are closing in on, we have passed about a year and a quarter, but if this continues, we may even overlap the 1997 version, where price of oil dropped, and that primary result is drop in inflation rate. But this drop in inflation rate is almost entirely due to price of oil continuously going down. The second it stabilizes at any price, at $50 or at $40 or at $30, after it stabilizes, 3, 4, 5 months after, then we're going to see inflation starting to go back up. I read Federal Reserve forecast that they were comparing two possible outcomes at stabilization at $80 and stabilization at $30, and their economists were looking at both ways at inflation after a few months going back either down, if it's $80 initially going up and then coming down, or if it is $30 initially going to negative and then coming back up to around 2-3%, which is very interesting from that point of view. Over time, however, as price of oil goes up, if it does go up, its impact on transportation cost will catch us up. Unfortunately, when it goes down, we don't see that part. Airlines don't give us discount for lower price. As soon as it goes up, there is a surcharge for that, but we don't see that part of it coming. But businesses are, despite of all the events globally and such, they are still planning to increase their expenditures over the next 6 months. And that is a very positive event that is happening. And we are slowly getting to a point where at least one of the data points that we follow has got back to where it was before the Great Recession. And I hope that, obviously, as we are looking, this is one observation. If we continue to see other observations continue at that level, we will be. It would be a good sign, and we can see a faster growth as we are going forward. This is the end of our second segment. This is Cameron Afshar with Economic Pulse.
For program support of WDIY, we thank Lehigh County, Northampton County, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
This is Cameron Afshar with Economic Pulse from WDIY. With me this evening are Jack Fonder from MCR and Tom Demshock from Fishburne Realty. The survey of Valley businesses indicated that they are positive about the future and are planning to hire more people and spend more money. The only two minor concerns were that there was a little bit of a dip in their in the increase in their plans for hiring and their expectations of their revenues, and we were talking about that, which has indicated that still the growth will be there. We expect it to continue, but we don't expect a breakout, at least not based on this this study. However, one of the areas that we also talked about quite a bit is the manufacturing and the fact that the only segment in the whole area where we saw a decline, a planned decline in plans for hiring was manufacturing. And Jack, this is obviously your area. And what I have observed is historically, every time we have a recession, there is a change in mode of production, and the harder the recession, the larger the change in mode of production because of the necessity of adjusting, duration of time to adjusting. So what do you see?
Manufacturing is changing and going to continue to change. Right now, technology is changing quicker than any time in our history. And 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you knew who your competition was. They were somebody in North Carolina or somebody in California or maybe somebody in Paris. But now you don't know who your competition is because it's all over the globe. So companies have to be involved in technology. They've got to stay ahead of the curve. They've got to change their business model to make it so the customer is always right. You need to be able to understand their needs, be part of their needs, and change your model to be able to service what they're looking for. Companies have to be agile. They've got to be able to change. You know, there used to be, you know, you build this, everybody's going to use that one. Well, that's not the case. Right now, you might build a base, but you're going to modify it. And that's why I think that so much manufacturing is going to stay close to where the customers are because of this modification and so forth. And the last is the talent pipeline. I mean, we are changing and we're getting into whole different types of building things in the next 5 to 10 years. There's some things out there called now the Internet of Things. That's basically you're going to put sensors on your products as they go through the manufacturing process. You're going to put sensors on the machines as they're building them. You're going to have robots doing a lot, some of the work. They will be in tune with those sensors. So you will know on a daily basis that, you know, you're supposed to build X number of product on this day. And if you're behind, these robots and these sensors will automatically make changes. So the humans will be kind of involved, but the factories will somewhat run themselves. We talk a lot about cloud technology these days and cloud computing and these kind of areas. That's going to be a requirement. The small guys can compete with the big guys now because of having the data and the amount of digital data you can produce. And more importantly, you can process quickly so you can make adjustments right away. By doing that, you become more efficient. You have less scrap. You'd have to build less product. Therefore, your money is being spent better. So I think we're going to find manufacturing is going to change, but it's going to require which we keep talking about, computer skills, skills of electrical, mechanical in terms of fixing the robots and fixing the automation in the lines right now. I'm seeing an awful lot of automation going on here in the Valley right now. Companies such as Crayola and so forth are even Martin Guitar are putting in a lot of this kind of automation to eliminate some of the variables, but more important to smooth the production line through and make it a lot smoother. So manufacturing is going to change and continue to change. Companies have to be more innovative than what they were in the past. They have to have a culture of innovation to get everybody in the flow. So from the people on the line all the way to the CEO have to be in that loop, and people have to communicate and not be afraid to make suggestions, which some of the, you know, so the cultures have to change.
What happens to people who were doing those things?
Right now, they're being retrained. I think you take a look at manufacturing back in the 80s, represented probably 25% of the workforce here in the Lehigh Valley. Now it's about 10%. You look at the agricultural industry over the last 100 years. Now it's, what, 2% or some
very small,
small percentage. It doesn't mean, though, that we're just all we're doing is eliminating jobs. What we're doing, though, is we're making people more effective, and there are an awful lot of jobs involved in more technical nature. And that's all we've been saying for the last 5-6 years is that if you're in manufacturing, you need to have a technical background. That's why the career and technical schools, community colleges, and so forth are so important to give that generation good skills early on, like in high school. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to go and change your direction when you're 24 years old. It's kind of a challenge if you're 24 years old and you've had art and so forth all your life, which is what your dream was, but to go to alternate B, which might require a lot more technical math and so forth skills, that's hard to do at 24, 26 years old. It's a lot easier to get a foundation built. And that's what I tell, you know, I have 11 grandkids and 5 kids. And that's what I tell all my kids is that, you know, if you like art, you got to go where you want, where you enjoy, but build that technology, have that STEM background so you always have something to fall back on.
Okay. Very good. Tom, what do you see the Lehigh Valley's housing market? How was it doing? What did it do during this year? And what do you see coming 2016? And particularly if the Fed does that huge thing, which is a 0.25% increase in their rate.
I think the housing market is going to stay positive.
Mm-hmm.
This year, we've had steady growth in sales. Prices have been a little soft.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also approaching that 6-month supply mark, which is the fulcrum between buyer's market and seller's market.
Okay.
And the supply gets tighter, I think that's going to put some pressure on prices, which might get more houses coming on the market. And I think a lot of people are sitting there saying, I want to sell and get something smaller, but my neighbor got 2 times what, you know, 10 years ago than the last neighbor just got, and I want to wait for the market to move a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't see a percentage point in interest rates being very damaging to us. Psychologically, yes, but actual monthly payments, it's going to be a nominal difference.
Right.
So it may make some people panic. You know, when the rates start to move, people might start to really want to quick run out and buy something and lock in a rate.
Mm-hmm.
But when they sit down and look at it, and whether you're paying 3.5, 4, 4.5, or 5, your monthly payment is so close to the same, that's not a big deal.
So you see next year's housing market continuing at the same level that it is this year or doing better?
I think it's going to do better.
Oh, great.
I think it's showing healthy movement. You know, we're not seeing as many foreclosures in the paper. We still see some, mm-hmm. you know, when you read the list every Sunday of the deed transfers, but nowhere near what it used to be. You know, because people now, I think, can sell. If they get in trouble, they can sell the house and cover the mortgage. We're probably somewhere around the 2005, 2006, you know, if you bought at that period, you're not underwater anymore.
It took that many years to get there. Yes, one of the other things we have also observed is that the change in the method of delivery. Amazon, Walmart, and all of these entities are talking about instant delivery, 1-hour delivery, 2-hour delivery, discussion about drones, and all of those things are happening. But the notion is getting to the point where many of these larger internet sellers, and now even Walmart is joining the group on the net, they are trying to have their delivery done very fast, effectively making it even closer to the notion of going to the store and purchasing. So, okay, I go to the store, I look at it, I pick it up, and I bring it home, and I drive home, and half an hour later, I'm home, or buying it on the internet, and the product being delivered to my front door in an hour's time. The difference between the two becoming smaller and smaller, and that's the idea that is would capture a larger part of the market. Obviously, the technology is not here yet. The drones everybody talks about them, but they're not as practical as people think. This is a direction of movement that we are seeing, and that results in a lot of warehouses all over the country.
It also, there's a new thing in the last 5 or 6, well, it's been around a lot longer, but the big push has been for additive manufacturing, which is called 3D printing, which on the spare parts, on the onesie, twosie, small quantities, quick reaction things, there is a concept that that could also help in quick reaction of products right away. That's getting into a much more economical mode of building product right now. It'll never take over the mass production in manufacturing, but in unique places, odd places, and so forth, for spare parts and so forth, it's getting there. Right now, you can do it with metallized kinds of product, which before is all plastic. So So it's not just model shop kind of product anymore. You actually are designing things using the 3D printer. So that's just another one of the technology things we keep talking about.
The direction, and it comes to what I wanted to ask you, Tom, to see if you have seen warehousing. If this concept comes about, and this is the direction of movement, we're going to see a lot of warehouses all over creation.
Have you driven down Route 100 south of 78? The amount of warehouses that have gone in there are under construction.
Oh,
or take
no.
33 north of 22 and see the warehouse construction there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's everybody. BMW's in there.
78 West. They're everywhere between here and 81.
Yeah. That's true. Going west 78 now, which used to be considered outside.
Right. And north of 80.
Berks County, there's getting a lot of it.
Get up in Schuylkill County and Luzerne counties. Warehousing is getting very strong there.
The old steel plant.
Yeah.
The Majestic site there, that's all warehouse that's going in.
Yeah. But by the same token, also the type of employment that we see and the wages that we're going to see would be more in that department. So a dichotomy of wages is going to be created for either a warehousing employee or then the high-tech guys who design and now just program a computer to build them. I mean, now they have to put the pieces together. I guess that this 3D printing in a few years could even build all the pieces.
That's the intent. Right now, you can have a 20-piece assembly built at the same time in one piece. That's where the advantage is in a lot of cases, is things like that.
Yeah.
But, warehousing is, it's already here, obviously.
Right.
But you're going to have, it's getting more technical, with barcodes and some of these other robots going around and so forth, that somebody's got to fix those also. I can't overemphasize the need of electromechanical maintenance. Kids are leaving right now, getting out of LCTI into Megatronics, and from what I understand, they're averaging $23, $25 an hour out of high school.
Oh, that's great.
And all of a sudden, you throw overtime on that, and you're $55,000, $60,000 a year.
Oh, yeah, look at the plumbing and electrical guys at the Votech. Those kids are coming out doing very well.
Yep. I think that's finally people are realizing that, college is important, don't get me wrong, but maybe out of high school, you ought to get a trade first, you ought to learn a skill first, and then go back and a lot of cases, your company will pay for it.
True.
You don't have that huge debt, which so many kids have.
This may be a paradigm change. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being my guest and Economic Pulse. And we released the results of this October survey, which was very positive and indicated that we're going to see improvement in employment and businesses are planning to spend more money. My guests tonight are Jack Vonder from Manufacturer Resource Center and Tom Demshock from Fishburne Realty. Thank you, gentlemen. This is Cameron Afshar with Economic Pulse.